I, John, was one of the disciples that was chosen by Jesus. And I was also the only disciple that was at the foot of the cross when he was crucified. Let me tell you a little bit about myself. I grew up with my brother James, my father Zebedee, and my mother Salome, and we were fishermen. Every day, Dad would come down and tell us, get ready to go fishing. So we'd go get our little snack around, and we would march down with Dad. He would get the mast up for the sail, and James and I, we would put the nets together. And then Dad would tell us, launch us, boys! And we would, and then we would jump in. Now, some days, it was so hot on the Sea of Galilee that James and I would just jump right in, and we'd feel so much better. And sometimes Dad would jump in with us as well. And then there were storms on Galilee. Oh, those were horrible storms, and they would come up so quickly that James and I, we would go underneath a tarp while Dad would get that sail down. And we would ride out the storm. Then there are other days that we'd go out for a while and it was so bitterly cold that we would say, Dad, can't we go back up to the shore? And we did. And we'd build a campfire and we'd clean some fish and we'd eat them. And oh, those fish were always so good. And that warmth just took the chill out of our bones. One day, while James and I are working on the boat, we see a gentleman a few feet away, and he was watching us. Now, that's not unusual, because we'd have parents come down with their children from the city, and they'd show their kids what it was like to be a fisherman. And they'd watch us work, and they'd watch us start floating out, and they'd kind of go like this to see if they could see us even further out in Galilee. So to have somebody over there watching us wasn't unusual. But it was unusual because he stood there, and his gaze was so intent on us. Wow. We felt a stirring in our souls that we really hadn't felt since we were disciples of John the Baptist. And that gaze that he had on us, it wasn't that he was angry at us, but so intent that we could just feel something deep down inside us. And then we decided, you know, we should talk with him. We should find out what's going on. So we do. We go over to him and we introduced ourselves. And we asked, sir, who are you? He said, my name is Jesus. And as God is our witness, we're so enthralled by this man. Our father came over and even talked with him for a little while. And so we said to this Jesus, we said, sir, is there something that we can do to help you? He said, yes, there is. I'd like for you to fish for a new kind of fish. I said, okay. What kind of fish is it? He says, I want you to become fisher of men. Now, James looked at me, and I looked at James. James is almost starting to snicker. He put his hand up like this. But yet, we could tell that Jesus wasn't kidding. And so we said, sir, If we fish for these men, what are we going to do with them once we catch them? We're not going to do anything perverted like eat them, are we? And Jesus said, no. He says, I like bread. I like wine. I like lamb chops. He says, I'm not particularly fond of eating men. So he said, well, that's a good thing. So he said, what are we going to do with these men? Well, we're going to have a kingdom of God. A kingdom of God. We're already part of a kingdom. It's the Roman kingdom. We're not going to fight Roman soldiers, are we? Oh, no. That's not the kind of kingdom that I'm looking at. What I want us to do is to bring these folks into the kingdom of God. We're going to proclaim the year of the Lord. We're going to set the captives free. We're going to give living water to those who thirst and bread to those who are hungry. Now, James and I, we're thinking about this. Sounds like we're going to be social service workers. Well, you know, it beats fishing every day. Because I hate to say this, but fish stink. And the longer they're out of the water, they smell even worse. So you know what? Maybe this wouldn't be a bad thing to be able to do. And then we saw two other fishermen coming our way. Well, we knew these guys. One was Peter and one was Andrew. And they went over and they said to Jesus, where are we going today, Jesus? Well, that took us aback. We knew Peter and Andrew. And wherever those two were, there was fun and excitement. And we thought, huh, if they're with Jesus, we should be with Jesus too. So we went to our father Zebedee. And we said, Dad, what do you think? You talked to Jesus there for a while. And he looked at us, he said, boys, if I was your age, I'd go with him. And so our father Zebedee gave us his blessing, and off we went. Now for 3 years, we were with Jesus and the other disciples. And we saw some extraordinary things that we had never seen with John the Baptist. Now truly, John was a wonderful, mighty man of God. No doubt about that. He taught about repentance and forgiveness. How to clean our lives up. But Jesus went beyond that. Jesus healed those who were lame. He took away the scales from people's eyes so that they could see. He took a small lunch of a child, and he could feed 5,000 men, not including the women and the children. He turned water into wine. He made pure the lepers. And whereas the Pharisees only talked to a few people about God, Jesus talked to thousands of people. He talked to them about how to become children of God. And he did that through the Sermon on the Mount. And then he talked about how to relieve the physical suffering of those around. And that was the Sermon on the Plain. And he even did something even more extraordinary. Jairus' daughter, who had died, Jesus went and brought her back to life. And then our good friend Lazarus, who also had died, and Mary and Martha were so upset that Jesus hadn't come soon enough. But he came, and he had Lazarus walk out of the tomb, and he was alive again. And he also taught us how to pray. Our Father. That took us by surprise. We never heard the Pharisees and Sadducees say, "Our Father." He talked as if God was his Father. But he also is showing us how that we were the children of God. That was so amazing. And then he told us parables. I never knew what a parable was before. I'm a fisherman. But Jesus gave parable after parable and taught us the right ways through these parables. He taught morals with it. And some were very humorous. We enjoyed those. And some were very serious. And those times were when the Pharisees were out there and they wanted to trap him. And Jesus would point an accusatory finger at them, because all they were concerned about was the law. Did they really love people? Did they really love God? Or did they love themselves? And once again, Jesus' crowds kept growing and growing, and the Pharisees kept getting smaller and smaller, to the point where the temple officials knew they had to get rid of this man. He is going to destroy them, destroy the temple, and even said he could. The day that we knew that Jesus was going to be anointed the King of the Jews was the Sunday before Passover. Jesus had us get him a donkey so we could ride into Jerusalem. Now, I've seen enough kings and people with power. They didn't ride on a donkey. A donkey symbolized peace. No. They would be on a majestic white stallion. And they would be riding into Jerusalem. But not Jesus. Jesus said, "I want a donkey." He gets on the donkey. He rides into Jerusalem, and there are people on either side waving palm branches saying, "Hallelujah, Hosanna to God in the highest." Oh, what a terrific day. And then our mother comes to Jesus and says, "You know, when you're in your kingdom, one of my boys should be on the left side and one of my boys should be on the right side so they can help you rule, Jesus." And Jesus folded his arms, and my mother could tell that he was not amused. So she kind of sauntered off. Then after Palm Sunday, one of Jesus' disciples, Judas Iscariot, went to the temple officials and offered them a deal. Well, now Judas was the treasurer of our group. And we always kind of wondered if he didn't take a few extra coins out of there. And maybe he did. But he offered them a deal. 30 pieces of silver. And I can let you know where Jesus is on the night of Passover. He betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. You know, Judas had no concern about Jesus' safety. Well, he had seen Jesus heal people, all sorts of people, all sorts of diseases, even exorcise demons. And he also saw Jesus bring people back to life. He didn't have any concern. about Jesus. However, I tell you from my perspective, if I had known what Judas was up to, being one of the sons of thunder, he would never have carried it out. I would have scared him so much that he would almost have been paralyzed with fear. But we didn't know. We did not know. And we found out too late that Judas was nothing but scum. But yet it seemed that Jesus knew everything that was going on. Now Jesus asked Peter and I if we could prepare the Passover meal. Well, hey, that's a big deal, to be in charge of the Passover meal. And so we rented an upper room. We got all the food around. We got the cushions for people to sit on. We had tubs for water. We had towels to dry people's feet. Now the host always would have a slave wash the feet of those who came. They would have dust over their feet. They would have gone through mud puddles, and sometimes they might have not missed some of the dung that was in the roads. Not one of the nicest jobs you could have. Well, you know, Peter and I, we kind of forgot about that part of it. But we thought, you know, there's 10 others out there. We did the most important work. They can wash the stinky, smelly feet. So we all go into the upper room. And we're all seated on our cushions. And Peter and I, we kind of look around to see if any of the other disciples are going to wash these feet. No one's moving, except for Jesus. Jesus gets up, wraps the towel around his waist, gets the tub of water, and starts washing the feet. Peter and I look at each other. I feel really ashamed. And Peter says, "Lord, you're not going to wash the disciples' feet, and especially you're not going to wash mine." Peter, sit down. I'm going to wash your feet as well as everyone else's. And Jesus did. Another unusual thing happened that night at the Passover. Jesus, we're eating the meal, and he stands up. He has a loaf of bread in his hand. He takes a piece of it. He tells all of us, "Take a piece of this loaf. This represents my broken body." And then he gets a chalice of wine. He takes a sip and then passes it on to the others. "Drink of this new covenant with me. Do this in remembrance of me." And we're looking at each other like, what does he mean in remembrance? You are right here. Why would we have to remember it? So we're kind of wondering about that. We have our meal. It was a good meal. Of course, Peter and I made it, so it had to be good. And all of a sudden, Jesus takes a piece of bread, dips it into broth, and gives it to Judas, and says, "Whatever you must do, do it quickly." So Judas gets up, and he runs for it. Now the rest of us thought, okay, Judas didn't think of something, so Jesus had to have him do an errand. No big deal. But Jesus knew where Judas was going. He goes to the temple officials and he says, "This is where Jesus is right now, and this is where he's going to be." So the betrayal of Jesus had begun. At the end of the Passover meal, we could tell that Jesus was in a very solemn mood. At Passover, it's a time of celebration. It's a time when the Jews were leaving Egypt. And the angel of death had passed over them. Time of celebration. Time of laughter. But Jesus was very solemn. Quite unusual for our Lord. He said, "We're going to go up to the Garden of Gethsemane and we're going to pray." Which wasn't unusual. Jesus always found places for us to rest and pray. So we followed Jesus. And then he said to Peter, James, and I, "We're going to go up to a place which is a little bit more isolated, and we're going to pray together." So we start to pray. But we disciples were tired. We'd been working all day for the Passover. Our stomachs were full. Man, all we wanted to do was just lay down. And as Jesus is praying, that's exactly what we do. We fall asleep. Jesus notices that. And he gets very angry. He comes over to us and says, "Can't you even pray with me for 1 hour?" Whoa, that got our attention. But even though he got our attention for a moment, we tried to go back to sleep. And then we heard a commotion. We didn't know what it was. Nothing usually happens in the Garden of Gethsemane. And off to our right, we see temple officials, temple guards, and we see Judas leading the way. They have their torches, they have their swords. And Judas comes over to Jesus and gives him a kiss on the cheek. And the temple guards grab Jesus. They start to take him away. Now we as disciples, we get our swords out. Peter slices off the ear of one of the temple guards. And Jesus says to all of us, "Men, put your swords away." And Jesus goes over and heals the ear of the temple guard. We don't know what to do. He tells us to put our swords away. These guys have swords. We're not going to stand there and just get massacred. So we run. We run as fast as we can, except for Peter and myself. We kind of stay behind the crowd of the temple guards and the officials because we want to know where they're taking Jesus. So we try to stand back as far as we can. We see that they take him to Herod's palace. And there's a courtyard on the outside. Nice big bonfire. It's starting to get cool. Peter goes over and sits by to get warm. And I'm thinking, to be that close to Herod's palace? No. I'm standing back here, whether I'm cold or not. And so there are three people around there that start to recognize Peter. And they say, "You know this Jesus, don't you?" No. "Another, I have seen you with this man." "No. You have not." "I know that you're one of the followers." "No, I do not know this man. I've never seen this man." And then in the distance, Peter hears the rooster crow. And he could see Jesus down the way. And Jesus' eyes are intently focused on Peter. Peter puts his head down in utter despair and anger with himself, and he runs off. There's no one there to support Jesus. Jesus was now on his own. And he was interrogated by Herod, then sent to Pilate for interrogation, then back to Herod again, and then finally with Pilate. And all throughout this time, he is punched, he is spat upon. The Romans had a cat of nine tails, and they ripped his back with 39 lashes. As they say, 40 would kill you. And so Pilate takes Barabbas out and Jesus out onto his balcony. We can save one of these two men. Which one will it be? Barabbas was a zealot. He was a killer. And Jesus had only done good. The crowd that had sung Hosanna to the highest the week before, we now have this crowd assembled below. And Pilate says, who should we save? Barabbas or Jesus? And the people a week ago who said he's our king said, we want Barabbas. What should we do with your Jesus, the king of the Jews? Crucify him. Crucify him. Pilate gets out a pan of water himself, washes his hands, and says, I'm going to have nothing to do with this. You are saying that you want this man crucified. Now, I go looking for Jesus' mother, Mary. And I told Mary what was going on. She couldn't believe it. Mary screamed in anguish, my son is God's chosen one. I have known this before he was even born. God will not let him die. John, let's go find where Jesus is at. So we have Mary, Mary Magdalene, another Mary, Mary the wife of Clopas, and John, who are all looking to find Jesus. And it wasn't hard to find, because here's this crowd on this road going to Golgotha. There are three men who are going to be crucified, Jesus being one of them. And the crowds on either side of the road kept mocking him, kept saying, you could save others. Let's see you save yourself. And because Jesus had been beaten so badly, he was almost unrecognizable. He had had a thorn of crowns even pushed on his head, and blood was dripping down. And from his back, blood was coming down. He was losing so much blood, he was becoming so weak. And the Roman soldiers finally got Simon of Cyrene to take that cross, to bear the cross the rest of the way to Golgotha. And when they got him up there, they stretched him out on the cross. They had spikes and a hammer. Once for his feet, once for one hand, and once for another. And then they had already had a hole dug for the cross. They raised the cross up and pounded it into the ground. The Roman soldiers didn't care how much pain was inflicted. They're dying anyway. And we looked and we said, my God, why don't you do something? Jesus is going to die if you don't. And at the foot of that cross, the soldiers were gambling for his clothes. Jesus, being the humble servant that he was still caring for people. It's amazing. a thief on either side of him. And the one thief, he went along with the crowd. Hey, if you can get us down, why'd you do it? But the other thief said to the first one, you know, we deserve what we're getting. We should be crucified. This man, Jesus, has done nothing. Nothing to warrant crucifixion. And Jesus turned to him and said, today you will be in my kingdom. And then Jesus looked down. He saw me. He saw Mary. He said to Mary, Mary, this is your new son. And to John, John, this is your new mother. Take care of her. That pierced the hearts of both Mary and I. We started weeping. But then we tried to control ourselves because we weren't the ones who really need to be consoled. We wanted to console Jesus as much as we could. And Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And a little bit later, he had his arms out. It is finished. And his head bowed down. And his body slumped. That took so much away from us. So much. And then a Roman soldier comes along with a spear, takes that spear and rams it into his side to pierce his heart. Mary was going to attack him. I held on to her. I didn't want her injured. I did not want her killed. And when Jesus died, you could see the sky turning black. And you could feel the rumble of the earth. And I turned to Mary and I said, we're going to have a terrible storm. We got to get out of here. So I grabbed Mary and off we went to take cover. Well, I, John, I am numb. I have no spirit. Jesus, who was my life, has been taken away from me. I don't know what to do with myself. I've talked to some of the other disciples and they said, we've heard rumors where the Roman soldiers are going to gather us all up and we're going to be crucified just like Jesus. We've got to get out of here. And we talked to Mary and Mary Magdalene and they said, well, if you want to go today, you can, but we aren't. We got to further prepare Jesus' body. We can't do it tomorrow. It's a Sabbath. So it's got to be Sunday, early morning Sunday. Well, once they do that, we're gathering up all the disciples and we're leaving Jerusalem. Now, Jesus had mentioned that he could come back from death to life. But you know, if you saw the mangled body that Jesus had, and if you had seen him die like we did and the spear into his side, you knew there was no coming back for this man. So if any of you are Jesus' followers, you better get out of here too.
Please stand if you are able. Lo, in the gray grave, he lay.
And then Sunday came. While still dark, Mary Magdalene goes out to the tomb. She wants to get things done early and get out of there. And she knows the Roman soldiers are going to be there, so they can help her roll away the stone. And she gets down there. No Roman soldiers. The rock's not in front of the tomb opening. She looks inside. It's dark, but she doesn't see anything. She is puzzled. Jesus is gone. What did the Romans do with his body? Did you know anything about this? That's what she asked Peter and I. Well, we had just had our first good night's sleep. We were tired, and here's Mary telling us all sorts of crazy things. But we've always listened to Mary before. So we said, okay. So we get up, and we run down to the tomb. I'm the fastest. But I'm not walking into that tomb. Peter runs past me and goes into the tomb. Impetuous Peter. And he goes in there. He says, Mary's right. There's nobody in here. Peter saw that the linen that was over Jesus' face was put off to the side. He saw the linen that was wrapped around him was folded in a nice pile. That's all there was. Now, I finally went inside too, since Peter and Mary were already there. I thought it was safe. So I go in there, and I'm seeing the same thing. Why did the Romans do such a cruel thing to Jesus? The man was dead. Why would they further mutilate the corpse? It just did not make any sense. And Peter and I, we walked slowly back to our house. We were puzzled. We kept thinking, what's going on? Why? And Mary Magdalene, she stayed. She wept outside the tomb. And finally, she went in to kind of give her last goodbye. And when she walks in, she sees two men dressed in dazzling white. One was at where the head of Jesus had been, and the other was where his feet had been. And they say to her, "Woman, why are you crying? They have taken away my Lord." Do you know where they have taken him? And then she turned around and she sees another person. And that guy says to him, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for?" Thinking that he was just a gardener, Mary said to her, "Well, sir, if you have carried away, could you tell me where you have taken him?" And then Jesus said to her, "Mary." And that's when Mary looks up and sees Jesus. And she says, "Rabboni," which means teacher. She gets down on her hands and knees. And then she decides, "I've got to tell Peter, I've got to tell John." And off she runs. She was out of breath when she reached us. And Mary kept yelling with joy, "Jesus is alive! He is alive! Our Lord and Master is alive!" Well, you all know the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say. "Till the day that I died, I proclaimed that Jesus Christ is our salvation and our risen Lord. Hallelujah! Brothers and sisters of Christ, tell your relatives, tell your friends, tell everyone that you can find that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead and Jesus is our Savior." this side of the congregation is going to say, Jesus is alive. This side is going to say, He has risen. Let us stand. Okay, this side, Jesus is alive. Jesus is risen. Jesus is alive. Jesus is risen. Now let's say it so the roof comes off. Jesus is alive. Jesus is risen. Hallelujah, brothers and sisters. Amen.